for that beat, little girl. Maybe we can find a groove. At least we can get ourselves a decent meal down at the rendezvous. 'Cause one more heartfelt steel guitar chord, girl, that's gonna do me in. I need to hear some trumpet and saxophone, you know, sound as sweet as sin. And after we get good and greasy, baby, we can come on home. Put the cow horns back on the Cadillac and change the message on the quarter.
Celebrating birthday number 69 today. John Hiatt. John Hiatt went back to his 1987 album, Bring the Family, for Memphis in the Meantime. Hey, before the John Hiatt, Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers, who would have been celebrating a birthday. So I guess I'll say tomorrow is the anniversary of his birth. Played Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. Jim Reeves in there, speaking of celebrating the anniversary of someone's birth. If Jim Reeves were with us today, he'd be 98 years old. Four walls from Jim Reeves. And then Patsy Cline, who recorded Crazy on August 21st of 1961, making it 50 years old, the recording of that song. I know, makes you feel old, doesn't it? You know what doesn't make you feel old? A little whiskey before breakfast. Nah, there's no harm in that. It's WRCT's Folk and Bluegrass Show. It happens Wednesdays at 11 a.m., where you actually hear a wide range of folk music, traditional and contemporary, and fiddle tunes, and just songs galore with your host, Mando Richard. It's Whiskey Before Breakfast, 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, with an encore presentation Thursday mornings. It's almost 25 minutes past your hour. That means in 35 minutes, we will have a mock. We're doing a Motley Crue mock, going back to the archives for that one. So let's shift our focus, shift our direction on this ship that I've been driving for the last 3.5 hours. Play the Helicopters.
I got an empty corner in my head. It feels tough and I will soon be dead. This monkey's no friend of mine. He's a monkey, but it can't be beat. Head over heels on banana peel. I'm getting confused as to what I feel. And every time I try to speak, he always put his monkey tongue in my cheek. And oh my, my, I'd do anything to make him mad. And oh, then I see there's nothing I can do. The monkey's just a part of me. I've got a monkey singing in my brain, yeah. I should have known already we're the same, yeah.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
One of the big sort of storylines that we've been following in particular over the last 6 months, over the last year, certainly in the kind of Trump era, is the reality that the modern American right wing and the Republican Party have this list of stated values which mean almost nothing to them as soon as the values start to conflict with the real world circumstances and the specifics and the outcome that they want. They claim to have values which they immediately abandon as soon as those values are inconvenient to the policy that they want or to their perspective on any kind of particular issue. I have another example of this for you today, which is Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And this is really serious. The reason that this is the first story today is that this is really, really serious. Marjorie Taylor Greene is now suggesting, saying that there should be a sort of grace period or cooling off period when Democrats move to a red state from a blue state before they should be allowed to vote. Now, this goes against all election law, voting law, enfranchisement of voters in the United States. It goes against everything, not even from a logistical standpoint. It goes against even the idea, the values of how this country works and how voting works. And it is, in fact, a sort of California version of the Great Replacement Theory, which comes from France, which we're going to talk about in a moment. So let me go through this piece by piece. Newsweek reporting, Marjorie Taylor Greene calls it wise to bar Democrats who move to red states from voting. What? If red states and blue states were to divorce each other, that's the word she's been using, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene called it possible that people who move from a Dem state to a Republican state would be barred from voting for a temporary, quote, cooling off period. What is this about? Well, California, Newsweek writes, has seen an influx in people moving out of the state, many going to Texas and Florida, where residents get more bang for their buck. However, some, including Green, have complained that those who are leaving California, bringing their political beliefs with them and potentially shifting the political landscape. Yesterday, she posted on Twitter, brainwashed people who move from California and New York need a cooling off period. Her comment was in response to a Twitter user who wrote he supports discriminating against Democratic transplants, including restricting their ability to vote for a period of time. Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote on Twitter, all possible. So Pedro Gonzalez wrote, I support actively discriminating against transplants through legislation. They shouldn't be able to vote for a period and they should have to pay a tax for their sins. And Marjorie Taylor Greene added to that, saying after Democrat voters and big donors ruin a state like California, you would think it wise to stop them from doing it to another great state like Florida. Brainwashed people that move from California and New York really need a cooling off period. This is not legal. There is no legal basis for this. They say that they are fighting the left's voter fraud, absentee ballot, massive dumps of votes. You guys know all this stuff. We're sick of it by now. And that they are all about legal voting. Well, when you move to a new state, you can legally vote there right away. There is no legal basis. There is no constitutional basis. There is no ideological, and I mean by that the idea of the founders of this country, by which you should be restricted from voting when you move for some period of time. And this is part of the full-scale war on our voting institutions that Republicans are waging. This is not like an offhanded joke. When we talk about the coup attempt, when we talk about all of that in the context of 2020, she believes this. She believes this, and there's a really good chance that many of the other Republicans and Trumpists believe it as well. We can't laugh this off. They don't want democracy. They want to pay lip service to the idea of a democratic republic, when in reality what they want is their sort of authoritarian, tyrannical rule by what is increasingly a shrinking minority ideologically. And that's an important thing to remember. Ideologically, these people are increasingly in the minority. This is the great replacement theory applied to California. We've talked about the great replacement theory before. This comes from France. This is a white nationalist conspiracy theory. It was disseminated by the French author Renaud Camus. And it states that with the complicity or cooperation of replacist elites, the white French population and white European populations at large, this is from Wikipedia, are being demographically and culturally replaced with non-European peoples. And at the time, from the late 19th century when this originates, they were talking about Arabs, Berbers, Turks, and sub-Saharan Muslims through mass migration. We have talked about Tucker Carlson paying lip service to a sort of American version of the Great Replacement Theory when he talks about immigrants coming from typically Central and South America, making the country dirtier and poorer, as he says, and the idea of Democrats wanting to bring as many of these folks into the country to get them to vote to win elections. That's the Great Replacement Theory, just applied from 19th century France and Europe to the United States in the 21st century. Marjorie Taylor Greene's fear-mongering is based on the same principle, which is they're going to, in this case, it's liberals. And what were the words that she used? Brainwashed liberals who have committed sins coming from California and New York to Florida and Texas, and presume, you know, maybe her state of Georgia as well. It's the same idea. It's the idea of this plague or dirty infection from outside coming in and replicating and taking over our states like a parasite attaching itself to a host. It is the exact same line of thinking. 19th century France, Tucker with brown people from Mexico, Marjorie Taylor Greene, liberals from California and New York going to Florida and Texas. If we ignore it, this stuff will continue to take hold, because if Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying it, it's because a bunch of her constituents already believe it, and we know that they do. So that's her idea. We are, of course, horrified to see it, but at the same time, need a strategy to activate against it. Not the voting piece. There's no legal basis for what she wants. But these ideas are sadly spreading, and not only are they spreading, it's becoming more acceptable to say it in public, which is a big part of the problem. We are increasingly in a COVID hellscape in the United States as the Omicron variant, or the Omicron, as some refer to it, including the president, is spreading wildly. It is now believed that there are over a million real cases a day, real infections a day in the United States, as the official numbers are swirling in the 300,000 to 400,000 range. Most at-home tests when people test positive aren't figured into that. People who never get tested because they just have mild cold symptoms or can't access a test never figure into that. There's probably a million cases a day in the U.S. already. Florida is a leading place that is experiencing these incredible numbers. And Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is completely missing. Article from The Hill. Where is Ron DeSantis now? Florida mayor slams governor amid new surge. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings, that is the husband of Congresswoman Val Demings, by the way. Jerry Demings criticized Ron DeSantis's handling of Florida's COVID surge. Demings instated a mask mandate for county employees. Some testing sites have wait times as long as 5 hours. We have not received any assistance from the state of Florida at our testing sites. Where is DeSantis? DeSantis has been largely absent. Our residents, all Florida residents, should be outraged, and they should ask the question, where is our state? Where is our governor? Where is Ron DeSantis now? DeSantis has not held a COVID briefing since December 17th, nearly 2 weeks ago. he appeared alongside the Florida Surgeon General to promote monoclonal antibodies developed by AstraZeneca. A spokesperson for the Florida Department of Health told the Orlando Sentinel Wednesday, Florida's containment efforts have shifted from an earlier statewide undertaking to a number of locally led endeavors, basically saying, we're not really involved anymore. And we are really seeing a lot of passing the buck here. I already have been critical of Joe Biden after running on I Will Fix COVID, saying there's no federal solution for COVID. It's got to be run by the state. In the state of Florida, the governor's office is now saying there's no state solution here. It's got to be run at the municipality level. There's a lot of different things going on, and there is plenty of blame to go around, and also the reality that this is happening everywhere. I'm not looking to uniquely place blame on individuals for something that is a global phenomenon. Omicron is so contagious. Increasingly, people saying, I don't do anything. I went to the grocery store 15 minutes and wore a mask, and I ended up with the disease. It is so contagious that to some degree, no one's going to really contain it, but we've got to be able to do testing. We've got all these things that are going wrong. Jerry Demings is saying, where is DeSantis? He's just completely missing. Let's take a look at a clip of that.
Our residents, all Florida residents, should be outraged, and they should ask the question, now, where is our state? Where is our governor? Where is Ron DeSantis now? When was the last time you saw the governor do a press briefing regarding COVID-19?
When was the last time Florida man held a press conference on COVID? Now, according to the Orlando Sentinel, it was on December 17th, which is almost 2 weeks ago. And in those 2 weeks, the state of Florida has seen an increase in COVID cases of more than 1,000%. In fact, the state just reported a record-breaking number of new cases today, the most since the pandemic began. Now, of course, this comes after Florida man implemented oppressive restrictions on private businesses back in November, preventing them from being able to require vaccinations and also prohibiting mask requirements in schools.
So the numbers in Florida are truly incredible. If you're looking on your screen, if rather than just listening today, this is not a glitch. This very thin line for yesterday, which says 46, nearly 47,000 cases in Florida in a single day, that is correct. Now, of course, putting politics aside, the hope is that the continued lower hospitalization rate of Omicron will mean that not nearly as many cases are going to turn into deaths. Unfortunately, if you look at Florida's death numbers, it looks like there are almost literally no deaths taking place. We know that's not true, and that's because of how Florida reports deaths. They report them on a major delay, so it always looks like there's been almost no deaths recently. So we don't really know in Florida to what degree cases are turning into deaths because the reporting is, number one, delayed, and number two, potentially incomplete. But Ron DeSantis continues to just be missing in action as Florida, nearly 50,000. Florida has dramatically more cases a day now than many countries, many, many countries around the world. Florida has a lot of people as well, of course. But their rate is off the charts, and that's only official cases. Doesn't include most at-home tests unless you call an authority, health authority, and report it, and doesn't include everybody who doesn't even get tested. So the next 6 weeks are going to be brutal in terms of case numbers, and 6 weeks from now, we will either come out of this with an insane amount of death. Hopefully, we will come out of it without a ton of death, due to milder disease. That's still the hope and the belief as of right now. And with dramatically reducing case numbers, as we are already seeing in South Africa. Those are the possibilities. Let me know on Twitter at @DPacman which you expect to see. It is almost the end of 2021. Saturday, January 1. Is it Saturday? Is Saturday January 1st? It is. Saturday, January 1. We are kicking off the midterm year with a huge one-day membership discount special. I would love for you to participate. You can get notified of this special. simply by being on my mailing list, which you can sign up for at davidpakman.com. The David Pakman Show is primarily funded by viewers and listeners like you, people who listen to the podcast or watch us on Free Speech TV or on any of our television affiliates, listen on the radio, watch clips on YouTube, and you can sign up for our membership program at joinpakman.com. Cheap, quick, easy. You get an extra show every day just for you, as well as a commercial-free audio and video stream of the show. And you can get a discount off of a membership with the coupon code BETTER21. You can also wait for the January 1 discount, which is going to be big, very, very big. Lawyers, accountants, regulators, they're very concerned about how big this discount is going to be. We're going to do it. I will risk jail time to give you a discount. Get on my mailing list at davidpakman.com. You'll be notified January 1st of how to avail yourself of this membership special. The David Pakman Show subreddit is approaching 34,000 subscribers, which is, it's the most subscribed David Pakman Show subreddit in the world. In fact, that's true. It's a meaningless statement, but it is true. DavidPakman.com/Reddit. A few interesting posts I spotted this morning. You know, many of you know that I like to joke around about restaurants and food related things and whatnot. And the other day I tweeted about, you know, 90% jokingly, but also 10% seriously. Why is all the anti-mask stuff happening at places like Applebee's and Burger King and whatever? And a bunch of people got mad and said, I'm being bougie and elitist and all these different things. But it's sort of a real question. And I spotted a post on the subreddit from user Colliga3 who said, David, this is why Applebee's exists despite sucking. David, you're right to be baffled at the existence, let alone popularity of Applebee's. Because no, their food is not anything special, nor is it cheap. That's an important thing. Applebee's isn't cheap. You're able to see it that way because, like me, you are not an alcoholic. That is the key to success for these crappy chains like Applebee's, Chili's, Ruby Tuesdays, Tagif Fridays, etc. The word grill is a dog whistle for people who want to get drunk more than they want to eat, but need to keep up appearances. So rather than go to a bar or liquor store where the goal is obvious, they can go somewhere and order food they'll barely touch to avoid buzz killing and flood themselves with beer or margarita or whatever. I've learned this from a lifetime of having closeted alcoholic friends. And when I would suggest we go to a restaurant for its wonderful food, if they didn't serve booze, friends would think of some excuse, not in the mood for whatever, and suggest one of these putrid chains instead. A very interesting fact is that even God-fearing dry counties can be bought by these corporate booze troughs via the local chamber of commerce. I used to live in Conway, Arkansas, which is dry. Wow, that's crazy. And as far back as I knew, the only way to get drunk was drive to the next county for their liquor stores or be a member of the VFW club. Oh, there's another thing you don't have. Young children. Grills always have a kid's menu, so you can kill two birds with one stone. Shut the brats' faces up with dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets or whatever. Drink yourself stupid and they then drive home. This is very on point. I don't think I have much of a comment other than I continue to be completely against the concept of a kid's menu. In my mind, and if I have kids and I go against this, you can all troll me. In my mind, kid's menu means what the adults are eating, but a smaller portion. If I go back on that at some point in the future, you all have the right to make fun of me. Another interesting post from the David Pakman Show subreddit from Samael Majer. Serious question. Are there any prominent left-wing self-help figures? This is a good topic. There may, and Samael writes, there may be a ton and I'm oblivious, but when I scan my media landscape, the types of people that mix in self-help talk and ideas most frequently are people like Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan, and Jocko Willink. Figures like Lewis Rossman, who ostensibly has a channel themed around repairs, but wades into life lessons he's learned, and he's a libertarian bro. These kinds of figures seem so numerous on the right, enjoy talking about their experiences and how others can avoid their pitfalls and help themselves. And again, where are the people offering this life advice who are on the left? I've seen David do it, but rarely. Seems more of a sense and focus on systems and less of a focus on the individual. I know that's a basic difference between left and right frames. The most left-wing person I'm aware of that goes into experiences and lessons is ironically Destiny. Yeah. So I have a couple thoughts on this. First of all, is Deepak Chopra left wing? Like, I think Deepak Chopra is a total pseudoscience charlatan, 1,000%. But is he sort of considered left wing? He's like in the woo woo left. But that's just one thought I have. But I think that what may be at play here is it's less about. So one aspect is the concept of self-help is based around the individual rather than systems. It's how do you act to help yourself? If self-help were to be about changing systems, it's less about self because it's not about what one individual can really do. So by its nature, self-help is going to be based around what can you do for yourself, either in actions or in reorienting your thinking about things. But there's another aspect, I think, that skews the self-help world outside of the woo-woo away from the left, which is leftists, I believe, are less interested in the idea of here is a person who has the answers. There's an aspect of when we look at, I've talked about left-wing cults of personality a little bit, like there has been a cult of personality to some degree around Bernie. That doesn't mean every Bernie supporter is part of the cult, understand. There was certainly a cult of personality around Andrew Yang, Tulsi, although I don't think she's really on the left. There was a very big cult of personality around her. But for the most part, if your idea is this one person has the answers, that's the right-wing idea. The Trump literally said it, only I can fix it, and his followers fell for it. People like, you know, Tony Robbins, who my understanding is certainly skews right, or Jordan Peterson or all these others. Part of it is you have to believe that one person has the solutions and the answers. And that is an idea, in my experience, that appeals more to the right than the left. So I think that that's a part of it as well. One last post I spotted, Daz Werver wants to get the OG David Pakman theme music back on the show. Here's the problem. I don't know which is the OG theme music. So I will consider changing the theme music, but you've got to email me with a link to the theme music you're talking about. And I, in all seriousness, I will consider it, but you've got to let me know which theme music you're referring to. Join the discussion on Reddit at davidpakman.com/Reddit. All right. This next clip, I admit to you, 110% is disaster porn. Mike Lindell, the CEO of Mike Pillow, the CEO of My Pillow, who I sometimes refer to as Mike Pillow, he is back on the Steve Bannon show on Real America's Voice, War Room. You know, it's a very long name. And he has a new blockbuster lawsuit with evidence to get Donald Trump reinstated. Bannon asks him, when is it going to court? And Pillow says it's going to court in 2 weeks. Since it's the end of the year, we're going to take a tour through 2021 with Pillow. All of the different times that he said he has all of these blockbuster lawsuits and things. So this is the new one. He has another deadline, and it's coming up very soon.
It's like throwing a gun in a river where you killed someone. You can't throw away the evidence. Yeah. So that's what they've tried to do, but
let's go to commercial break. Just when's this filing going to take place?
It should be within the next 2 weeks. we've got it all ready to go. We've just got to get it filed in D.C. with the judge.
That's the new one. In just a couple weeks, it's going to happen. Now, remember all of the times he said this. I don't have 2 hours to play all of the instances, but let's go through a couple of these. Remember back on May 25th, Pillow appeared with Steve Bannon, and he said he's gathering evidence, and he's got white hat hackers, and any moment, attorneys general were going to be on board, and before you knew it, Trump was going to be back.
But your air game, walk us through the critical path of the air game.
Critical.
Well, it started, you know, when I first got the evidence, and that was on January 9th. And as I got more and more and did my own due diligence and had teams of people gathering this, what we have is we have cyber, they're called cyber packets. These are forensic packets that you can't change. They're 100% evidence of each flip that happened, each attack by China.
These are immutable cyber packets, and presumably not packets of mustard and ketchup.
And what I did then is I wanted to make sure I went out and got the best white hat hackers, different ones from different parts of the government that protect our country. They validated everything. So now we have our royal flush to bring to the Supreme Court. But what we're doing now, we have about, I believe it's five different cyber teams, where we're doing audits.
So he had elements of cyber and they were ready to go. That was May 25th. That, of course, didn't happen. Then he had the August 13th deadline. He missed that one and he said, well, don't worry, I have a new deadline.
We have a 2022 or a 2024. Yeah, people want change now. We can't wait to 2024 for things to reverse. This country is going down a road right now that has to be reversed now.
Yeah, it has to happen now. It's Trump 2021. 100% Trump 2021. And it's this election, when it does get pulled down, you know, there were so many other down tickets affected. Maybe the Supreme Court and that, they just do a whole new election, which is fine. But remember, everybody, we have to melt down the machines and make prison bars out of them.
Exactly. Melt the machines down. Now, he said it would definitely happen in 2021. It is, of course, December 30th, 2021. We are down to the last about 30 something hours left in the year. Didn't happen. Then we go to October 22nd, where Mike Pillow said he was canvassing for voter fraud in 20 states, which is, of course, weird because he claimed in May to have all the evidence. Why are you now canvassing a year after the election? But that's what he was doing, supposedly.
Tell us about your efforts. Are we making progress? Because you're not a guy that fools yourself, right?
Well, only in his mind is progress being made. That's actually an interesting way to phrase it.
You built this company out of nothing to be one of the most important manufacturing companies. Are you wasting your time, or do you believe you're getting traction as you're going around? Because we try to talk every day, and I know you're all over the country.
Yeah.
You're right.
Presenting with attorney generals, presenting with the Secretary of State. The audience loves you, but are you wasting your time, or are you getting traction on this?
No, we're getting traction. I met with five states in 3 days. That's why I couldn't come on your show this week. I've been very busy. I fly out of one state to another. I haven't been naming the states. I've told the attorney generals and stuff. It's all in confidence till we all sign this together.
And guys, please, Bannon and Pillow, both attorney generals. It's attorneys general. They're attorneys. They're not generals. Please.
And put this out the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, before the Supreme Court.
So that was that new deadline, Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And then a little more time went by. And again, this was just like a week later. Again, Bannon says it's right before Thanksgiving. It's absolute genius. Of course, it didn't happen.
What I love about this, they said, hey, if you just get Trump out, Orange Man bad, and you get Biden, you can start having holidays again,
right,
without arguing at the table and at each other's throats. But Mike Lindell comes in, and he's going to go the Wednesday, the eve of Thanksgiving, on a marathon, so you can go back and have fist fights, the family squabbles. Lindell, you're a genius. Only you could have thought of this.
Steve,
the country's going to go back at your holidays are ruined again. Okay.
No. It's different now. 30-some% of Democrats now believe this country was stolen and through the machines.
Do you guys think Bannon really believes this stuff, or is he just entertaining it for the clicks? In any case, Mike Pillow's guarantee of a 2021 reinstatement of Donald Trump is down to its last 30-something hours. It's not going to happen. But there will be a new deadline, I am sure. And if you're listening today and you want to see some of these clips, we'll have them on our Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at David Pakman Show. And we will take a quick break and be back right after this. I was actually surprised how many of you wrote to me about this story in the few hours before we started producing today's show. And I want to talk about it because what's at issue is something actually kind of subtle. The headlines are Trump accuses the January 6th committee of seeking evidence of criminal activity. And a lot of you wrote to me and said, how is that an accusation? That's obviously the point. That's what the January 6th panel is supposed to be doing. But what's at at issue here is that it is not actually the job of Congress to seek information about crimes. If they find information about crimes in doing their investigation, they should and can turn it over to the Department of Justice. But Trump's allegation is that that is actually the prime motive for what they are doing. So there's an Axios article that sort of explains this. Former President Trump's legal team accused the House committee investigating the Trump riots of seeking to uncover evidence that would support a criminal referral against him. Why it matters. The brief asked the Supreme Court to consider committee chair Benny Thompson's interview with The Washington Post as part of its effort to block the release of records to the committee. Last week, Trump's lawyers asked them to block the release of documents and records from his administration, arguing that their release would undermine certain presidential privileges. In an interview published the same day, Thompson said the Select Committee was examining Trump's actions on January 6 as it considers to recommend that the Justice Department open a criminal investigation into Trump. The Select Committee, so Trump is arguing, the Select Committee is acting as an inquisitorial tribunal seeking evidence of criminal activity, and that doing so is, quote, outside of any of Congress's legislative powers. The Washington Post has confirmed what was already apparent. The committee is indeed seeking any excuse to refer a political rival for criminal charges, and they are using this investigation to do so. We're expecting a response from the committee today. So again, if your reaction is, of course, that's what they're doing, that's the point. It's actually not. The point of Congress, the job of Congress, is not to seek as a primary objective information about crimes. What we would imagine, and I spoke to one lawyer this morning about it, what we would expect the committee to say is, we are investigating what happened, who caused it, how could it have been prevented, how can we make sure that it doesn't happen again? If in so investigating those questions, we come across evidence of criminality by Donald Trump or anybody else, in our opinion, because remember, they are not law enforcement, if in their opinion there is evidence of criminality or at least potential evidence to suggest an investigation, they would go to the Department of Justice and say, you might want to take a look at this, and the DOJ would then make a decision as to whether to open a formal investigation or not. So there is some subtlety there, and obviously there is room for interpretation and sort of squishiness there. Meanwhile, the claim from Trump is their only purpose, their only goal is to find crimes I may have committed or that they believe that I committed, and that is not actually the duty of a congressional committee. And that is accurate. That would actually be true. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be very hard to make the case. You sort of have to go to intent. And if you want to prevent access or try to shut down the committee or whatever else the case may be, you really have to get into the intent in someone's mind, sort of like with perjury. Did you unknowingly lie or did you deliberately lie? And it's going to be very difficult, from what I'm reading, to successfully argue that the sole purpose or the primary purpose or the true purpose of the committee is to find evidence of Trump's criminality. And I think if you look at the genesis of the committee in and of itself, it's pretty clear that while it may be a bonus, it may be a tertiary or subsequent a priority to know whether Donald Trump committed crimes, you're not going to be able to prove that that's really the point of the investigation. It's also relevant to say that in an abstract sense, it is not the legislature's function to investigate crimes, but the legislature has a clear function in creating law. And to create law, you need to understand what took place and how what took place relates to the existing law. That's completely legitimate. You need to determine, does current law cover what took place or not? This was an issue with remember this whole child porn case in New York State? The details, I don't remember, but there was some technicality in how the law used to be written where viewing child porn and possessing it were two different things based on browser cache and some technical elements. And after someone was acquitted or charges were dropped on that technicality, I think it was the New York legislature said, we've got to rewrite how we define possession of child porn. we're talking about something similar here. And the House committee can very legitimately, from what I'm reading, say we have to understand what took place in relation to the law because we are charged with writing law. And if in so doing, we come across the belief that laws were broken by Trump or anyone else, we refer it to the Department of Justice. I think they are ultimately going to have that argument prevail. And again, strictly speaking, if you want to defend yourself on process rather than on substance, which is what Donald Trump is doing, that is completely legitimate in our legal system. It is completely legitimate to get yourself acquitted because the people investigating you did not use the right processes. It's completely legitimate. Colloquially speaking, Donald Trump's continued behavior is not the behavior of an innocent man. I want to close out this story that we've been following this week of Alex Jones turning on Donald Trump with one final clip, which is now just a straight up threat from Alex Jones to Donald Trump. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the backstory, but as a reminder, Monday I played a clip for you from Christmas where Alex Jones did an emergency Christmas show in which he said something. He essentially turned on Trump. He said something's happened with Trump. Trump is now pro-vaccine. Trump has always been mildly pro-vaccine, but recently Trump said both to Bill O'Reilly and Candace Owens, the vaccines are good. People who are vaccinated are mostly not dying. The vaccines are good. Alex Jones went nuts on Christmas and turned on Trump. Yesterday, we looked at more clips of Alex Jones really losing his mind and just obsessed with Donald Trump over and over and over again, talking about Trump, 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 and vaccination. Now is when it's starting to get really interesting. Yesterday, Alex Jones straight up started threatening to spill dirt that he claims to have on Donald Trump. Take a look at this.
Criminal. We know Bill Gates is a psychotic eugenicist piece of garbage. We know who they are. But we're not going to sit here and put up with Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz or any of these people.
Wow.
But Rand Paul's chief amongst them. Yeah, we all wish Trump would do the right thing. But listen, I've got the inside baseball on Trump. He doesn't know what's going on.
Whoa.
And I'm not even defending Trump. I'm just saying we need to move on. Hmm. In fact, maybe, you know what, to get Trump's attention, because I don't even get this from Roger Stone. I get this from people directly in Trump's camp.
He doesn't get it from Stone. Remember that.
Maybe I should just dish all the dirt on. You know what? You know what? I'm going to dish it all on Trump next hour. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And it's not to hurt Trump.
No.
So people can know how pathetic he is when you think he's playing 4D chess going to save you, and he's not. He's not a bad guy, but he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's surrounded by bad advisors, and he's got that multi-billion dollar social media network based on Mastodon that they said is an original program. It doesn't even work, and there's all these SEC criminal investigations of it right now, and it's all falling apart. I wish Trump could go build a real network. I want Trump to have success. I'm not against Trump. But just like during the campaign a year and a half ago, I told you, Trump's in trouble. He's going to lose. They're going to steal it. Here's how they're going to do it.
Okay. So ultimately, he did not dish any dirt. But this is delightful. And I have to tell you, I believe Alex Jones does know some stuff about Trump. I do actually believe he is a liar regularly, but his contacts over the last 5-6 years, you go back to 2015 when Trump's campaign started, I would be shocked if Jones didn't have some up until now unknown dirt on Trump. Whether he will actually spill it, we don't know. But this civil war within the Trump community is absolutely fantastic, partially because Democrats seem to be completely ill-equipped to actually win anything in 2022. And we have to hope, it's sort of a pathetic position to be in, but to some degree, we have to hope that Republicans damage themselves. We'll take a quick break and be right back. All right, everybody, final story of the year of the Republican Civil War and continuing to see MAGA figures turn on the former president Donald Trump for completely mild, uncontroversial, milquetoast support. for getting vaccinated because the vaccines do a good job of protecting you from serious illness, hospitalization, and death from COVID. There's a guy named Wayne Allen Root. Wayne Allen Root. He has been a guest on this program many times, and some of my interviews with him have been sort of entertaining. I don't know how much we ever learned when I would talk to Wayne Allen Root, but there was definitely significant entertainment value. This guy has been one of the biggest MAGA lunatic sycophants for years, and he is now calling for an intervention of Donald Trump because of, again, very mild, uncontroversial statements of support for vaccines from Donald Trump, while still insisting everybody has their freedom and no mandates and no mask mandates and all this stuff. Mild support. And Wayne Allen Root has gone completely bonkers. MAGA sycophant calls for staging an intervention over Trump's vax support. Let's take a look at the clip.
Over the country, and basically I talked about it, every poll, he's just destroying Biden. He's winning by a landslide. He's the most one of the most respected men in the world, more than Biden or the Pope. He's made a huge comeback politically and financially. He just doubled or tripled his net worth with his social media company. And I wrote that for a reason, Alex. You know why? Because I felt it was important to establish with President Donald Trump what a huge fan, supporter, and friend I am, so I could then come back with my next column, which will be next week, which is what I call the intervention. He needs an intervention from a friend.
Wow.
Because he's the greatest president of my lifetime. I love him. I will always love him.
I mean, he was the greatest president since George Washington until he did this.
Fabulous. And I love the guy. I just got married last month. I'm a newlywed. He sent a letter to be read at the wedding.
Wow.
I'm going on my honeymoon to Mar-a-Lago in March. I've already booked the honeymoon to Mar-a-Lago in the suite right next to President and Mrs. Trump. So I'm a friend. I love the guy. And he's been right on everything except this issue. He's so horribly wrong on this issue. And the best way to put it, ironically, is he's dead wrong. Because people are dying left and right. In just the last few days, a 58-year-old Hollywood director, super fit, super healthy, wiry thin, the guy looked fantastic, drops dead of a heart attack. This is the word in every obituary now. Suddenly died. They're all vaccinated, and they suddenly died. There he is.
So this is extremely dangerous rhetoric, of course. And as we know, when hundreds of millions of people get an infection, you know, at this point, what is the real total number? Officially, there's 285 million COVID cases. The real number is probably at least double that, at least double that. All sorts of different things can happen. But the allegation, there's a football player we talked about Monday or Tuesday who died, believed to be seizure related. And immediately it's, oh, it must have been the vaccine. A director dies. Oh, it must have been the vaccine. This is extraordinarily dangerous stuff, unproven, unfounded. But most importantly, they're losing it on Trump for something so minor. These are the things that have triggered people like Alex Jones and Wayne Allen Root and others. At an event with Trump and Bill O'Reilly, I guess now it's 2 weeks ago, Trump said the following thing.
But look, we did something that was historic. We saved tens of millions of lives worldwide. We, together, all of us, not me, we. We got a vaccine done, three vaccines done, and tremendous therapeutics like Regeneron and other things that have saved a lot of lives. We got a vaccine done in less than 9 months that was supposed to take from 5 to 12 years. Because of that vaccine, millions and millions of people, I think this would have been the Spanish flu of 1917, where up to 100 million people died. This was going to ravage the country far beyond what it is right now. Take credit for it. What we've done is historic. Don't let them take it away. Don't take it away from ourselves. You're playing right into their hands when you sort of like, oh, the vaccine. If you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be forced to take it. No mandates, but take credit because we saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you.
Okay, so the president made news.
Do you agree with that? Right?
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
No. That's all. There's a very tiny group of it.
So uncontroversial. It's just... I'm vaccinated, I'm boosted, it's an accomplishment, it's good, and the crowd is booing, and people are turning on Trump. Then, with Candace Owens, Candace Owens trying to do her anti-vax stuff, and Trump saying, well, hold on, the vaccines are good. The people mostly dying are not vaccinated people. Here's that one.
We see the corruption, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from, this is a good thing and people should have this option, to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden, than under you. And more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
These are such, I mean, even in that clip, Trump lies. Even in that clip, Trump lies. These are such basic, uncontroversial things. And it again shows you the fragility. These coalitions are just hanging by a thread. And they fall apart so quickly as soon as something even this minor is said. So that's it for the civil war for 2021. I expect this to play a major role in the midterms and these coalitions turning on each other could at the end of the day decide who controls the House and Senate after the 2022 midterm elections. A few of you from Canada wrote to me about this and said, David, did you hear that Joe Rogan has canceled his show in Vancouver, Canada over the vaccine requirement? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. For people who don't know what's going on, Joe Rogan has called off a sold out comedy show in Vancouver because of the vaccine requirement. Vancouver City News writes popular podcast host and UFC commentator Joe Rogan has confirmed he's canceled his 420 show, meaning April 20th. In Vancouver, due to vaccine mandates. Speaking on a Christmas Eve episode of his podcast, he said, quote, I should probably say this because I haven't yet. My 420 show that's sold out in Vancouver, I don't think that's happening. I don't think I can even get into the country. I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. And subsequently also posting to his Facebook page that that indeed is what's happening. The show is getting canceled. Currently, people coming into Canada from the U.S. must show proof of vaccination and a negative test. Proof of vaccination is also required to attend events like the one Rogan had planned. So not only would Rogan need to be vaccinated to go to Canada, all of the attendees would need to show proof of vaccination in order to go to the event itself. Rogan said he, quote, doesn't trust that Vancouver won't cut capacity at arenas. However, the province made the move to restrict capacity by 50%. At venues with more than 1,000 seats. That was announced a week before Rogan made the comments. Rogers Arena saying, per the announcement of the province of British Columbia, capacities will be reduced to 50%. With rising COVID cases, we keep working with local health authorities to support each other. Rogan has opposed vaccine mandates and to some degree vaccinations and announced to his millions of followers in September that he had indeed tested positive. You know, I have to tell you, I have been so critical of so many of the things that Joe Rogan said for so long about the vaccine. I think he's been dead wrong about so many of the things that he said. Many of you have written to me and that you've said, David, we appreciate that you are willing to criticize Joe Rogan for the things he says about the vaccine because so many of your other cohorts are not willing or are not interested in doing that. I think it's important to call things out when you see them, when they don't make sense. But on this particular decision, I'm glad to see Rogan make this decision. What do I mean by that? It would actually be glaring hypocrisy, presumably based on lining his pockets, if he said these things on the podcast for a year or more and then went and said, oh yeah, you got to be vaccinated to come to my show. And now I'm going to get vaccinated only to be able to do the show and make money. Like, in other words, there's so much criticism that I've made about Joe Rogan. It is logical to me, and it suggests that at least it's not a grift what he's saying. He's misinformed. He's been empirically wrong about many of the things that he said. He's brought on various guests who also say things that are completely wrong. But he genuinely seems to believe it and is not abandoning it in order to just do the show and make the money. To some degree, I'm glad to see that rather than him reversing simply in order to be able to do the show and make the money. Now, it's reported that the show is canceled, but is also rescheduled for like almost a year from now. So whether we call it a postponement or a cancellation, it's not clear that you're no longer going to need to be vaccinated in a year to get into Canada. So that remains to be seen. But to some degree, at least he is sticking by what he claims to say. And if nothing else, it means he really believes it. He's wrong. He's wrong. But at least he seems to really believe it and not be doing it for the clicks, which I did not suspect. I suspected all along that as wrong as I believe Joe Rogan is on this stuff, these really are his beliefs. We have a voicemail number. That number is 219-2-DAVID-P. Speaking of Joe Rogan, this is a voicemail that brings up a really important issue, which we've not talked about too much. Take a listen.
Hi, David. I was just watching one of your clips about Joe Rogan talking about the monoclonal antibodies. I just wonder why no one is actually talking about the listed possible side effects on Regeneron's website.
Yes.
For the monoclonal antibodies. Everybody wants to talk about possible side effects for a vaccine, but nobody seems to want to talk about the possible side effects from the monoclonal antibodies. Maybe you should check that out.
This is a very important point. So we've talked before, there's a group that is either against or skeptical of the vaccines, partially on the basis that we have this great treatment, monoclonal antibodies. That's once you get COVID. So first of all, of course, I prefer prevention rather than cures as a general thing. So we have to even separate the antibody treatment and vaccines on that basis. But when you look at the claims made about the vaccine that these antibody supporters don't make about the antibody treatment, they say, well, the vaccine is experimental. The Pfizer vaccine is fully approved by the FDA, whereas the monoclonal antibodies are only approved by emergency use authorization. That's not a good argument. They say, well, I don't trust Big Pharma, which is why I'm against the vaccines. The antibody treatment is also made by Big Pharma, so that's not a good argument. They say, well, there's a financial incentive on the vaccination. Well, it is far less profitable to do a regimen of three doses of vaccine than it is to do a regimen of the monoclonal antibodies. We're talking about thousands of dollars versus under 100 total full cost for a full regimen of vaccine. So the financial argument also doesn't make sense. But then you get to the side effects, and the advocates of the antibodies instead of the vaccine never talk about the list of possible side effects. And I'm going to tell you what they are. This is for the antibody treatment: fever, chills, nausea, headache, shortness of breath, low blood pressure or high blood pressure, rapid heartbeat or slow heartbeat, chest discomfort and pain, weakness, confusion, tired, wheezing, lip swelling, face swelling, throat swelling, rashes including hives, itching, muscle aches, feeling faint, dizzy, and or sweaty. These reactions may be severe or life-threatening. You may experience new or worsening symptoms after receiving the treatment, including fever, breathing difficulty, and some of the other things that I mentioned. It is unknown if these symptoms are because of the treatment or because the progression of COVID could be affected and exacerbated by the antibody treatment. You also, because it is an intravenous therapy, You can have pain, bleeding, skin bruising, soreness, swelling, and even infection where you have that IV put in. These are not all the possible side effects of the antibody treatment. Not a lot of people have been given the antibody treatment, says Regeneron, compared to hundreds of millions of people who have been given the vaccine. It also is disclaimed and stipulated by Regeneron that the COVID monoclonal antibody treatment could interfere with your own body's ability to fight off future COVID infections and reduce your immune response to vaccination against coronavirus. That is a mouthful. And all of these people saying, well, the vaccine's experimental, so are the antibodies. And no longer is the vaccine experimental, at least not the Pfizer. And I don't want those side effects from the vaccine. Look at the list of possible side effects from the monoclonal antibody treatment. I'm not against the treatment. When it is the appropriate treatment, it can be a really great thing. Works better than placebo. You've got to be sick, though. I would prefer not to get sick in the first place, but a very good voicemail and an important topic. And yet another thing to keep in mind about those advocating for the monoclonal antibodies instead of the vaccine when they are two completely different things. The antibodies are a tool if you get sick, but we have other tools to try to prevent us from getting sick in the first place. On the bonus show today, we will talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell guilty verdicts, 5 out of 6 charges. We will talk about states hoarding welfare funds, even as the need for aid grows. And we are going to talk about the imminent increase of the California minimum wage to $15 per hour. All of those stories and more on today's bonus show. Sign up at...
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
City, the inside from way out.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Folks, glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
RCT, the inside from way out. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We are definitely in the middle of a very severe surge and uptick in cases. If you look at the upstick, it is actually almost a vertical increase. We're now at an average of about 400,000 cases per day. Hospitalizations are up.
As COVID cases skyrocket, we speak to Dr. Peter Hotez at Texas Children's Hospital about the Omicron surge and his groundbreaking work developing a patent-free coronavirus vaccine. Israel has just given it emergency approval.
There wasn't enough attention paid to an unfussy, simple, durable, easy-breezy vaccine for resource-poor countries, which is what we've been doing. And hopefully now we can move this along pretty quickly.
It's India that has just given it emergency approval. Plus, as the nation faces a shortage of rapid COVID tests, we'll speak to an MIT scientist who developed an inexpensive rapid test nearly 2 years ago, but the FDA refused to approve it. We'll also go to Colorado, where two people are feared dead after a devastating climate change-fueled wildfire destroyed nearly 1,000 homes outside Boulder.
Climate change is here now. That this is not some future threat that we have to deal with at some point someday, but this is here and now.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Global coronavirus cases have surged to their highest level of the pandemic, with nearly 1.5 million confirmed cases a day, driven largely by the fast-spreading Omicron variant. Here in the U.S., where hospitalizations are rising rapidly and more than 400,000 people are testing positive daily, many cities held muted New Year's Eve celebrations. In New York City, some 15,000 people still gathered in Times Square to witness the iconic ball drop. New York State reported a record of over 85,000 new cases New Year's Eve. Health experts warn even though a lower percentage of people infected with Omicron end up hospitalized, the sheer number of infections is pushing the healthcare system past its breaking point. This is top U.S. infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Even if you have a less of a percentage of severity, when you have multi-fold more people getting infected, the net amount is you're still going to get a lot of people that are going to be needing hospitalization. And that's the reason why we're concerned about stressing and straining the hospital system.
Hospitalizations among children hit new records, with COVID-related admissions increasing by 66% in the last week of December, though the number of fatalities remains comparatively low. This comes as millions of students across the United States return to school today. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said Sunday in-person learning is a priority, but that bumps in the road are expected amidst the current surge. In related news, economists are warning mounting infections and the loss of the increased pandemic-related child tax credit could lead to serious financial hardship for millions of families.
Travel disruptions continued into the new year with over 2,600 flights canceled on January 1st in the U.S. alone due to a combination of severe winter weather and sick staff. More than 14,000 flights were canceled over the last 10 days. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is the latest high-profile government official to test positive for COVID. He's fully vaccinated and boosted and has reported mild symptoms. In Colorado,